Hello there, and you're very welcome to this Sunday morning Munster Final Terrace Talk special. Wishy Fogarty with you for the next hour. My guest this morning is a man who has won practically everything the game of Gaelic football has to offer. Two senior All-Ireland medals, National League medals, All-Ireland club medal with his Kerry 1971. He captained them to victory. Four Kerry Senior Football County Championships, a Junior All-Ireland, a Sigerson Cup with UCD, Dublin Under 21 County Championship with Erin's Hope, Dublin Senior League, seven East Kerry O'Donoghue Cup medals, and Interferham All-Ireland. He was the last man from the parish of Killarney to score a goal in a Senior All-Ireland final that was against Meath in 1970. Now a successful politician, a member of the South Kerry Independence Alliance, he recently retained his seats on the Killarney Urban Council and the Kerry County Council. A national school teacher at the Monastery School in Killarney, he joins me to look back and forward at what has been a packed life and times. Mick Leeson, following a star-studded football career, tell me, how did politics take over your life, or did it take them over?
Good morning, Rhys, and thank you for inviting me here. Well, I hope politics hasn't totally taken over my life. It's very much part of my life and has been for a number of years. But I think it and the football were in many ways intertwined, because when I left St. Patrick's Training College in 1967, I decided that I would do an arts degree in UCD at night. Part of the reason was that I wanted to play football with UCD and wanted the opportunity to play in a Sigerson. And I studied Irish, English and philosophy as for that degree. And the philosophy section was made up of ethics, metaphysics, logic, and politics. And the principal lecturer in the politics section was a man well known to your listeners, a man called Brian Farrell. And Brian was one of the great inspirational lecturers of my lifetime. And he certainly whetted my appetite for politics. And I suppose gave me a great insight into the many and very different types of political structures that exist worldwide. And I think that was one of the main reasons why I became involved in politics. It certainly was not something that I ever imbibed in my home in Minish, because my father and mother, I don't think, were very deeply political people. They certainly would make sure that they always voted. But it may have jumped a generation, in the sense that my grandfather, Mick Sullivan from Shanacloone in Beaufort, my mother's father, was active in the politics of his time, and he was a member of the Board of Guardians. And sometime when I get a chance, I must check his record in Kerry County Council. It may still be there. And I would think he, as I say, maybe the genes were there from that time, in roughly 100 years ago.
Your present party, Mick, tell us about how you became involved with that party and why you became involved with it.
Well, that's a long and complicated story, and I don't want to make it too long. I was initially co-opted onto Kerry County Council in 1983 when, on behalf of the Labour Party, when Michael Moynihan was made a junior minister. And I fought and won a county council election on their behalf in 1985. When I was selected to be their sole nominee for the 1991 election. But the hierarchy of the party usurped the democratic decision of the selection convention in the name of nepotism, and they imposed another candidate. And that obviously disturbed me, and it disturbed other people. I contested that election with the other person, Breda Moynihan Cronin, and she was successful and I failed. And at that stage I decided that was the end of politics for me, and I moved away. However, many other people, some of whom were very involved with the Labour Party, including the then chairperson of the Labour Party, Donie Doody, and other people like Donal O'Sullivan and Don O'Donoghue, they were upset at what had happened and how the democratic process had been usurped, as I said. And they, I am told, began to meet quietly and examine if there were other ways of doing business in a more ethical and proper way. And having met on a number of occasions, they invited me to attend a meeting, and it was with considerable reluctance that I left Minish to go to attend that meeting in a hotel in town. And they told me of the plans which they were formulating and the ideas they had, and that they thought a new party would be a good idea, and would I be interested in becoming part of it. I reflected at some length, and I eventually decided, I suppose it was in the blood, I decided that I would become part of it. And so, after much to-ing and fro-ing, a name was found, the name being South Kerry Independent Alliance, to emphasise that our focus was on the well-being of the people of Kerry South, and that we would, as a group, try and do everything that we could to enhance the lives of our friends and neighbours in South Kerry. And so the party has contested every local election and one general election since. And we have been, as you said in your intro, we have been reasonably successful.
Mick, you're a member of the Killarney Urban Council. And how long have you been a member of the Urban Council?
I've been a member of the Urban Town Council now, as it's called, since 1994. So this is, I'm beginning my third term on the Killarney Town Council.
And what's your record in with the County Council?
I contested on behalf of South Kerry Independent Alliance and for the first time in 1999 and was successful and retained my seat on the 11th / 12th of June. So I'm very pleased, particularly on behalf of all the people who have been supportive, especially the small group of people who have performed heroics, in my opinion, as part of a wonderful team that went and canvassed what is a very extensive area. And I suppose being part of a team has been very much central to my life through sport and through teaching and through many other activities. So it was wonderful to have a team, an inspirational team, led by our Director of Election, Sean Kavanagh. And it was thanks to them, I think, that we were successful and the recent election.
Mick, I must say, not being too politically minded myself, I have great admiration for all politicians, for the time and the dedication that they put into their work. Do you find it hard to balance between the Killarney Council and between the County Council? And there must be an awful lot of work in it.
There is a considerable amount of work, but I suppose there's a great degree of satisfaction. Maybe not every member of the public would appreciate the amount of time that's given. For example, being mayor of Killarney, I found to be a hugely satisfying job, but it demanded an enormous amount of time in preparation of scripts and for welcoming of dignitaries and for special occasions in the town, because Killarney is such a vibrant, dynamic town. I remember in particular my first year as it was then chairperson of Killarney Town Council. It was during Ireland's earlier presidency of the EU, and the agriculture ministers came to stay, I think largely at the initiative of another former Kerry footballer, Jimmy Deenan. And it was my privilege as chairperson of the Town Council to host a civic reception in the wonderful setting of Muckra's House for Franz Fischler and all the ministers. And it was one of the most moving and wonderful occasions with whichever I've been part of. And I think it was one that impressed very much all those who were present at it, because the entire council made an enormous effort. And as I said, the setting was so splendid overlooking the lakes that everybody saw then and realised that Killarney was indeed a very, very special place.
Mick, your first choice of music?
My first choice of music is Jimmy Doyle playing some slides. Now, Jimmy Doyle has been a great friend of mine for many years. He's one of the leading accordion players in this country. And as late as last Friday night, we had a little post-election celebration. And Jimmy Doyle, with another great friend of mine, Pat O'Sullivan from Minish, with their two accordions, provided the music for the assembled supporters and members of SKI. And it was a most enjoyable night. Thanks largely to Jimmy and Pat.
Lovely choice. We listen to Jimmy. Tapping stuff there from Jimmy Doyle, lovely stuff, lovely choice there, Mick. Mick, of course, Munster final today, Kerry versus Limerick.
Well, the Munster final, obviously very special. Munster final holds wonderful memories and is an integral part of everyone's life in Kerry. Today in Limerick is a big challenge. I don't think anybody from Kerry is going overconfident. I think it's going to be a hard struggle because Limerick are going to be very determined to show their mettle. I think Limerick have a good team. I think they'll make Kerry fight hard for it.
How many Munster championship medals have you made?
I think I have three.
You're like all Kerry footballers, Mick. They don't know how many medals they have. Anyway, listen to me. Did you play against Limerick in the Munster final? No.
Never in a Munster final. Played against them in the first round in maybe 1970.
I think they're trying to win their first Munster championship since 1896, I think.
Yes, so nobody else in the country would begrudge them a victory, I presume so.
Except Kerry.
But Kerry.
And Liam Kernan's training them. Now, we're going for a short break. Stay with us and Terrace Talk. And you're very welcome back to the Sunday Morning Munster Final Terrace Talk special. My special guest this morning is Mick Leeson, former Kerry star and politician. Mick, you were born in Minish. Can you tell us something about this little townland, which amazingly, I can say, has produced a magnificent Olympian and a world champion in race walking?
Well, obviously, I suppose like most people, the hometown land is very special. Minish is a place exceedingly dear to my heart. I was born at the very last house at the bottom of Minish Boreen, on a very small farm. My father were Jack and Peg. I had three brothers and four sisters. So I remember the night in 1956 when the last member of our family, Noreen, was born, my father coming home, feeling very happy and said, "Now, folks," he said, "we have enough for a Kerry set." I'm not too sure that the eight of us ever got together for a Kerry set, and we certainly never will now, because the oldest member, Dennis, died at the age of 47 in 1991, in the Deer Throclair. But I'm very happy to say that his wife and family are doing exceedingly well in his absence. I'm sure he's keeping an eye on them. But Minish, as I said, we were raised on a small farm by the banks of the River Flesk, between the River Flesk and the railway. So the abiding sounds of my youth were the sounds of the river, sometimes in full spate, and the sounds of the steam train on the railway track. And that too was something which I always link with the Munster finals of my very early days, that long before we had radio or anything like that, would be the memory of the extra trains on the track the day of Munster final. And so that was one of the first I often wonder why there were so many trains, and somebody told me it was because Kerry are playing Cork. So I suppose that whetted my appetite in that sense. I don't live in Minish now, but it still remains very close to my heart, and I walk down there on very regular occasions. And I still have a very close affinity with river and railway. And I must say, in relation to the River Flesk, which is a wonderful river, an interesting aside in relation to that, on quite a number of occasions, the River Flesk, when in full flood, would flood all but one field of our land, and it was a magnificent and frightening sight to see the raging waters rushing towards the lakes. But it was, I suppose, it was a tough life for my father at that time, and my mother, to try and raise eight people on maybe 17 acres of arable land. But they survived, I suppose, like so many people in those days. They were self-sufficient. They had their own food. They killed their own pig and they grew their own crops. So we were reared on wholesome, healthy, homegrown food. And another aspect of that, of course, was something that has gone out of Ireland almost completely. In relation to going to the creamery, we cored with our neighbours, Con and Bridie Courtney. And in relation to ploughing the fields, they borrowed our horse for a day and we borrowed their horse for a day. So that was an integral part of the life of the people of the community as well. That sharing that now seems to be a thing of the past. So that was something of the team spirit as well. Excuse me.
Mick, was there another great Kerry footballer came out of Minish? Anyone else outside? Were you the only seen a footballer come out of the little townland before we talk about the Olympian?
To the best of my knowledge, I was the only one who played senior football with the county. But there were many very good players, including I had two uncles, my uncle Jimmy and my uncle Dan. I'm told were very good players. But I don't think anybody else actually played from the county. The nearest I know that played for the county were Keefs from Lissavigheen.
But overshadowing everything then, along came Gillian O'Sullivan. Now, not alone is all of Ireland proud of her, all of Kerry proud of her, but to come from the little townland of Minish, which is going to be spoken of in Athens, hopefully in the most glowing of terms come August. Mick, wonderful young lady.
Well, a wonderful person, of course, Gillian, yes, and a member of a wonderful family, and the Gleesons and the O'Sullivans, my father, Jack Gleeson, and Tom Sullivan, her grandfather, were very close friends and visited each other regularly. And it's one of the things in my life of which I'm enormously proud, is the success of that wonderful lady, Gillian. And you could say the parallel humility and loveliness of Pat and Alice and all her siblings. They have never been proud or boastful of her achievements, nor has she herself.
What's your earliest recollection of Gillian O'Sullivan?
It would be, I'd say, when I was involved, more actively involved with the spa team than I am now, and seeing Gillian in the spa field training with all the other children from the Lissiv Gean Tiarna Bowl area. And obviously it's very, like most children at that age, I presume, she tried all the various disciplines, all the various sports in the field. But fortunately, she found her niche and she has brought it to a superb level. And at a recent thing, I wished her a speedy recovery from a minor injury, which she's suffering. And I wished her a happy Athens. And I think that's the most important thing to wish her, is a happy Athens, because she is already more than justified her status as an athlete by bringing home that silver medal. And that was one of the most memorable and moving occasions in the lives of the people of Minish. And I'm sure if you asked Gillian what was probably one of the most special things in relation to all that, was the day at 2:30 when she returned from Cork and the people of Minish and surrounding townlands were gathered at the crossroads to welcome her
with
back to her native place.
Silver medal.
To be welcomed by her friends and neighbours, and the medal around her neck. And she's showing it to all of us gathered there. It was something that I think brought tears to eyes and brought a great unity of purpose to all the people. And I think it is something in the heat of Athens on that ultimate lap that is something that will inspire Gillian to continue the wonderful achievements which she has wrought already for herself, for Minish and for Ireland.
And it would probably be fitting to dedicate your next choice of music to her.
It would indeed. My next choice of music is by Johnny O'Leary, who Johnny O'Leary was one of those unique musicians who sadly died recently. And in before we introduce the music, I would like to send my regards to his wife Lil and to thank his daughter Ellen for giving us the tape. And interestingly enough, seeing that we are talking about the day that's in it, the day of the Munster final, Johnny's son Sean is, I believe, a selector with the Kerry Miners. And a nephew of my own is involved with the Kerry Miners. So there's an interaction at that level as well. But Johnny O'Leary and myself were great friends for many years. Johnny was a man with a great sense of joie de vivre, a great sense of enjoyment of life. And he kept that enjoyment of life and sharing of friendships up to the very end. And it was always a great pleasure, not only to hear him play, but to meet with him and talk with him and to listen to his stories and his yarns. Gunéanna Dia Trócair. Thank you.
the wonderful Johnny O'Leary, and I had the great pleasure of having him a couple of times on Terrace Talk, Lortimer Cinema, with and joining him on those Terrace Talks was his daughter, Ellen. Wonderful man, a lovely man, and a great GMN. I have no doubt he'd be listening into Radio Kerry today to the match if he was alive. I'm talking to Mick Leeson, but we're going for a short break. Stay with us on Terrace Talk. And you're very welcome back to Terrace Talk. Mick, you had an outstanding football career, I suppose. Did you learn your football in Minish?
Well, it was something that always was a passionate interest of mine. Like so many people would say, I presumed through listening to the radio. Not that we had a radio ourselves at that time, but nearby a wonderful lady called Mrs. Hogan, mother of Christy Hogan, former member of the Killarney Town Council. She had a radio and we gathered in great numbers to listen to the games. The children were left listening through the windows from the edge of the railway track. No trains passing, I can assure you, in those days. And then I went to Lissavigeen School, and around the time I became, I suppose, reasonably aware, Tadhg O'Sullivan came to Lissavigeen School as principal teacher, and Tadhg was consumed with a great interest for all things Gaelic, the Irish language, and in a special way, I suppose, Gaelic football. And every day at lunchtime, we went up into Keefe's Field, and a man to whom I personally owe a great debt of gratitude was Arthur E. O'Keefe, who made his field available to the children from the school every day from 12:30 until 1, and we played there. Played there indeed barefoot on many occasions. But one of the most memorable days in my very early youth was sometime in the mid-50s, my Uncle Dan, whom I mentioned earlier, he was a CIE bus inspector in Cork. And he came walking down the Boreen, and under his axter, as they say, he had a brand new leather football. The first one I had ever seen. And I remember he threw it to my father, and my father caught it and gave it a kick, the only time I ever saw him kick a ball, and indeed he connected very well. And I think that football earned its keep more than any football ever any other place in Ireland, because we played with it morning, noon and night. I and my brothers, my late brother Dennis now played some football, not a great deal, but, and I had another brother Mossy who played but little, and then my youngest brother Jim, who was himself a very good footballer, played with East Kerry and won many Sigerson's and county championships with UCC while a student there. So we certainly made use of that football, and I think that it was with that football we developed whatever skills we had thereafter.
You went to UCD in the course, Mick, and you were very successful with them. You helped East Kerry to 4 county championships, seen 65, 68, 69 and 70. And then in 1971, East Kerry won the first ever All-Ireland Club Final. You were the captain, but you didn't come home with the cup. But they were great days.
Oh, yes. There was a wonderful camaraderie between all the various players from the different clubs in East Kerry at that time. Now, I suppose I was in a slightly unusual position at that time, that for all of those games, while I was both playing with East Kerry and with Kerry, that I was teaching in Finglas in Dublin at that time. And the local club there was Aaron's Island. They made some efforts to get me to join them. But my own club, Spa, had just been reformed in 1966, and I felt I couldn't leave them, and I'm so happy that I didn't. Yes, East Kerry was wonderfully successful, and it gave to Kerry 2 winning captains, Johnny Colity in 69 and Donnie O'Sullivan from the Spa Club in 1970. And again, that's a very special memory of myself and Donnie in 1970, bringing the cup to the local, to Tiernabowl School and to Lissavigeen School. And I hope that in some little way helped to inspire some of the young players who've come along since and kept the flag flying for a club of which I'm very proud, and a club that continues to play a vital and dynamic role in the life of its community, and long may it continue to do so, because I think rural Ireland, and indeed all of Ireland, needs clubs that are active and dynamic so that they will involve the young people, and because involvement in sport is so essential and important for young people.
And of course, you helped Spa to win 7 O'Donoghue Cup medals. They were great teams. But 1969 and 70 were special years for you, as you have just said, because Kerry won the All-Ireland. You were playing in both those finals. You played with the greats of Kerry. But in 1970, you scored the goal against Meath. It was slightly overshadowed by the great goal that Dinjo Crowley scored. But if my memory is correct, you were the you were the last man from one of the Killarney clubs, I'm talking about Spa Legion Crokes, to score a goal in an All-Ireland final. What's your memories, Mick, of scoring that goal in an All-Ireland final?
Well, the memories of entering an All-Ireland final are by its very definition, very brief, because things happen so quickly. That the ball just broke out in the type of melee in the square, as they call it, and I pulled on the ground and it went into the net, and it was at a very crucial moment for Kerry. I'm told by objective viewers of the game, I've never seen it since, by the way, but I'm told that 1970 is classed as one of the good All-Irelands, and I think it should have been so, because that was an excellent Mead team as well. Indeed, when I was being asked for my choice of music, I thought, but I didn't get around to it, a song that was much in vogue at the time was the Mighty Quinn, a song written by Bob Dylan, because it wouldn't have been appropriate to play it for the then captain of Meath, Jack Quinn. But anyway, we were lucky enough to win it, and as I said earlier, the Spa man was captain, and that was hugely important to all of us in Spa, that Donny, having given wonderful years of service, at last reaped the reward which he so richly deserved.
What was it like, Mick Gleeson, to be playing in the Kerry full forward line and have, I'm only singling out one man out of all those great Kerry players, what was it like to have Mick O'Connell outside sending in ball to you? Was it good ball? Was it bad ball? Did you ever turn around and say, Connell, you want to get the legs straight?
Oh, I certainly did, yes, of course, yeah. In one of my earlier encounters with him, I didn't know Mick O'Connell when I first played with Kerry. And we played a challenge game against Kildare, I think, because in 1969 the other semi-final was a draw, and we went up to play before the replay. I got injured the previous Friday night and shouldn't have travelled at all, but Jackie Lyne, our late trainer, was in Limerick on the day, so there was no point. I had to go as far as Limerick, so having gone that far, I had to travel on. And so the first ball Mick O'Connell kicked in was not very accurately kicked, I have to say, and he gave out to me and I gave out to him, and we walked towards each other in a slightly confrontational way, and the late great Tyke Crowley came running in and put his arms around my shoulder, and he said, Mick, I think that knee is sore, you better come off by her. So I gladly came off, and that defused the situation, and Mick O'Connell and myself grew to be very great friends, and in fact, it was he seconded me on the day on which I was co-opted onto Kerry County Council in 1983. He was a very fine councillor, and I was very sorry, genuinely sorry, that he didn't seek to regain his seat at later elections.
Your third choice of music?
My third choice of music is, I was in Dublin last weekend myself, so I was unable to attend the concerts in the Fitzgerald Stadium, but a voice I always liked from the 70s and 80s was that of Chris Christopherson. And while I was told that he was somewhat lost in the vastness of the Fitzgerald Stadium, because it was a lone man and his guitar, I'm sure all of us who've played there have felt lost in the Fitzgerald Stadium at times. So because of that reason, and because I think many people like the voice of Chris Christopherson, I think we'll listen to him now.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. Didn't hurt. Beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert. Then I fumbled through my closet for my clothes and found my cleanest dirty shirt. And I shaved my face and combed my hair and stumbled down the stairs to meet the day. I'd smoked my brain the night before on cigarettes and songs that I'd been picking. But I lit my first and watched a small kid cussing at a can that he was kicking. Then I crossed the empty street and caught the Sunday smell of someone frying chicken. And it took me back to something that I'd lost somehow, somewhere along the way. On the Sunday morning sidewalk, we wish you, Lord, that I was stoned. Cause there's something in a Sunday makes a body feel alone. And there's nothing short of dying half as lonesome as the sound on the sleeping city sidewalks Sunday morning coming down.
Mix third choice of music there, Chris Christopherson, and as you mentioned, Mick, he was in the stadium 2 weeks ago. Well, I was there myself to hear him,
yes.
And he was one of my favourites, and I really enjoyed the show, and I think the crowd were there enjoyed it, but it was absolutely lovely. Chris Christopherson, very appropriate, Sunday morning coming down, and we're going for a short break. Stay with us on Terrace Talk. And you're very welcome back to this final part of this Munster Final Terrace Talk special. I'm talking to Mick Leeson. And, of course, we had Chris Christopherson there just before the break. And, as I said, I was at that show in the stadium. And sitting behind me, among a huge crowd of other ladies, was Mick's wife, Kathleen. Mick, you're married to Kathleen. She's not a Kerry woman, but she's absolutely sports mad.
Yeah, and very disappointed at the moment following that strange happening last Sunday in Celtic Park in Derry, when our team, Cavan, were 2 points ahead with a couple of minutes to go, and the game ended as a draw. And Cavan failed to score in extra time, and Derry scored 10 points and cruised to a very easy victory. And I know there's great annoyance in County Cavan that they were forced to play in the game in Derry, and that Derry, because Derry were classed as a weaker team than Cavan, and that's how they decided on the venue. And it seemed most unjust and unfair, and there's considerable anger there, and I don't think that's the right way to do business when one is trying to promote games in counties that have been maybe somewhat in the doldrums for a number of years.
Would football or politics dominate your discussions at home, sitting down over the dinner and a little bottle of wine, Mick?
Well, no. Number one, I haven't had a bottle of wine for over 2.5 years. I've become abstemious for some strange reason. I never returned to that phrase since Lent 2 years ago. But I look forward to returning sometime, maybe when Kerry win in All-Ireland in the near future, maybe this year. No, it wouldn't. I think she said herself on air once that, certainly in relation to politics, I never bring the problems home. I always believe that when a game is over, when a day's work is over, when a meeting is over, that they're over and done with, and that's it. And one leaves it in the place where it belongs, because there's no point bringing home the torment and annoyance. But if there were, she's a very sage and wise woman, and if I ever need advice, I would certainly ask her, and she'll give it in her own gentle way.
Talking about drink, Mick, we're reading continuously about the abuse of alcohol in this country, in particular from young people. Now, you being a GMN and also a politician, what do you think of the recent decision by the GAA to phase out drink in relation to sponsorship, and what do you think of the whole situation?
Well, I must say this now, and I don't want people to misinterpret this. I never in my life drank from a cup, because number one, I thought it was a filthy, unhygienic habit. Number two, the first time I ever saw it being done, I saw somebody become violently, violently sick, and they were in danger of death. And that made up my mind in relation to that matter. And I think that the filling of cups should be totally banned. I've always recommended that there should be 3 holes in the bottom of every cup, and that would solve that problem. But I'm sure somebody would be inventive enough to put something in there to plug the holes. But I would hope that because of the stand the GAA has taken, that there will be a greater realisation, especially among young people, that there is more to life than spending all their spare time in pubs. I have no objection in the world. I spend plenty of my life having a few pints in various pubs. But it certainly never interfered with my playing football, or I would never let it compromise my fitness or anything like that. It does sadden me to see some young people with great talent and great ability, people whom I believe should be wearing the county jersey, and that in not just this county but in other counties, who have denied themselves that opportunity because of drink influence.
What would you say to young people, boys and girls listening to you this morning, Mick, relation to that?
I would say certainly enjoy drink, but do it at a social level. And there's so much else in life, particularly in a magnificent county like Kerry. Go out and enjoy the splendour of our county. Go boating on our lakes, climbing on our hills, seeing and enjoying the wonder of the place, and sharing that with your relations and friends and your peers, and life will be much more pleasant and happy. And Sunday morning coming down won't be as bad as Chris Christopherson was saying there in his song.
You're teaching in my first old alma mater, the Mon here in Killarney. We call it the Mon, to be known as the Monastery School. Mick, teaching young boys at that age, what's your philosophy about what you should do to influence their lives?
Well, as far as possible, I think number one, to be their friend. And I think that is very important, and to try and create a learning environment where they're happy coming to school. And I suppose if there has been one great transformation in education in my lifetime, and that's not attributable to me, but in my lifetime since I first went to school, is that young people now like going to school. And I think that's a wonderful tribute to their homes, to their parents, and also to the schools to which they go. I've been in the Mon since 1974. I've 30 years just completed it. It's been a wonderfully happy time, and there's a great staff there, and I must say I'm delighted that I left Dublin, Finglas West, to come down to teach in Killarney.
Well, I must say I've had the great privilege of having you teach my son, Kieran, and he often said to me, Mick Leeson is a great friend of mine, so that bears that out. Mick, people who influenced your life the most?
Well, an enormous amount of people. Obviously, as I said, one's parents always have a great influence on one. From an education point of view, Tig O'Sullivan in Lissavigueen National School. Tig died some years ago. His wife Nellie is still hale and hearty there, and I sent her my best wishes. He was a wonderful man, as I said, and he played a huge role in the life of the entire Lissavigueen area. As I said in a little eulogy the day he was buried in Muckross Abbey, when water was needed, Tig set the wheels in motion. When education and passing exams was important, Tig put in the extra hours and the extra work. He was certainly important. From a football point of view, Tig also played a central role. And then when I went to college, when I went to UCD in Dublin, there was an enigmatic man, I suppose I could call him, Eugene McGee, a name that will be deep into the hearts and souls of Kerry people forever, because he was the trainer of Offaly when Offaly denied Kerry the five in a row in 1982. But Eugene McGee was trainer of UCD the year I won the Sigerson, and he was a wonderful friend. He was the type of man I've always said, if my car broke down in Newcastle West, the first person I would think of ringing would be Eugene McGee in Longford, and he'd be down. And he would, that type of person, I always had a great time for him. Then obviously, at local level, you had Donnie Sheehan training the teams with which we were involved, the three in a row team, and you had Jackie Lyne training the Kerry team. I scarcely knew Jackie Lyne at the time when he was trainer of Kerry, again, because I was in Dublin. But in later years, we became very close friends, and we had great stories and great times together, and I went out on his boat on the lake, to see the splendour of Killarney that I mentioned earlier. And
Mick, is religion important in your life?
Well, quietly, I would hope it is very important, I think, because, as I said, when I went to university, I studied things like metaphysics and ethics and things. And I think that has to be, we have to try and have some standards in our life. Obviously, we all deviate from them at times. Perfection is not something which is innate in us. We have to strive towards it, and we will inevitably fail. But I believe, yes, that there is right and wrong. And I believe that is one of the challenges in politics, to try and have standards and try and abide by them. And if we can't set standards, those of us who are chosen by the people to represent the public, if we can't have standards, then society is being let down, and I think that would be very wrong, and I couldn't live with that. And that's why I take certain stance in relation to planning permissions. There are places where I believe planning permissions it would be wrong for the overall good of County Kerry that planning would be granted in a particular location, because it would destroy a beautiful scenic place. At times it would be far easier to say, yes, I'll sign that or I'll vote for that. But I think one has to do what one believes is right. But of course, I have to say, we fail at times, and that's human nature and frailty are synonymous, I suppose.
After such a magnificent football career, Mick, in which you won practically everything, and I had the great honour and privilege of playing with you, both with St Finnan's, with East Kerry, and also with Kerry. Are you a good spectator?
I just would like to mention one thing in relation to playing in the East Kerry final with St Finnan's in 1964. The trainer of that team and that year was James O'Donoghue, who is president a joint honorary president of South Kerry Independent Alliance. So there's a wonderful continuity there. And he was one of the most magnificent and wonderful canvassers in our recent campaign at the age of 80 or 81. And I want to thank that man for his magnificent support and encouragement. Am I good support? Yes.
Spectator, yes.
I like to watch matches on my own. I like to be able to watch and view it quietly and rather than have somebody digging me in the ribs. And I'm not referring to my last chosen piece of music, but sometimes that man would. So I like watching a game and I like to make my own assessment of it.
Mick, I could stay talking to you until the cows came home to Minish. However...
Well, they were a very central part of my life too. I often had to milk them when they came home.
We can't do that. But listen to me, it was lovely having you on this Terrace Talk special in the Munster final, and we hope that everybody going to the game will enjoy it. And the best of luck to the two Kerry men in charge of the two teams, Liam Kearns and Jack O'Connor. Mick, it was great having you. And your last piece of music?
Well, I reserve my last piece of music, a song from... I suppose the only self-made millionaire with whom I'm on first-name terms for a long time, Jimmy O'Brien, publican in Killarney. We have been friends for years and years. Jimmy has a wonderful repertoire of songs. I hope he's them all recorded for posterity. Not that he intends passing away very soon or anything like that, but it's important that they would be there. So I think it would be very appropriate on the day that's in it that Jimmy would sing the Kerry Hills.
Great affection and recollection I of times wander down memory's maze, through days of childhood, through glen and wildwood, where I roamed and rambled in my boyhood days. But that fond memory is all excelling, and in my bosom fond thoughts and still of the days so merry, when we plucked wild berries on the verdant slopes of the Kerry Hills. Oft in the morning, my hills adorning, found me wandering neath those heathery heights, my greyhounds trailing in deep dealing, adding zest to my youth's delight. I've seen the Atlantic more wild and frantic, lashed those hills with its angry foam, roll bank defeated like knaves retreating, through fret and foam from my Kerry home. I wonder where are all my schoolmates, some are dead and far gone, some are weeping and in churchyard sleeping, while the west winds beat a lonely moan. But that sad memory is all excelling, and in my bosom sad thoughts and still of the days so merry, when we plucked wild berries on the verdant slopes of the Kerry Hills.